All right, listeners, buckle up. Today on The Advisor with Stacey Chalemery, we're talking about turning big, audacious visions into day-to-day reality without burning out the people who make it all happen. My guest is a leadership firecracker, Dr. Rhonda Palmer. She is 31 years in public education. Yes, she is. She finished as an associate superintendent, and now she's an executive coach, dynamo, and creator of EASE, the framework that helps emerging leaders rally their teams, crush their goals, and still have a life. And that's what's most important. So, Rhonda, grab a mic and say hello and give everyone a quick snapshot of who you are and what lights you up.
All right. Well, thank you so much, Stacey. I love your energy. I'm so glad you're welcoming here. And welcome to all the audience members. Rhonda Palmer here. And when you think about Rhonda, I want you to think about someone who's going to help you out. I'm going to help you out of anything that's coming up next. What's your next challenge? Are you in business? Are you thinking about something at home? Is there something going on? My strategies mostly are leadership based in the business world, but I'm also a race car driver and a water skier. And so lots of things that come out of my life that I look for joy everywhere in every turn. So I help people maintain their own sanity, maximize their impact, and leverage the strengths of those around them.
I love it. Now, what was the aha moment that pushed you from running to school districts to mentoring leaders across industries? And how did that spark the birth of your EASE framework?
Well, thank you for that. Okay, so interesting, quick Reader's Digest version, teacher for 7 years, assistant principal 3, principal for 8. And when I became a principal, I got tapped on the shoulder to serve as a mentor to other brand new principals and loved it, absolutely loved it. And it just, I knew I liked to teach and I was great with students. I was great with teachers, but I didn't really, if I didn't, wasn't really sure of my skill or approach or comfort level with peers or people at that leadership level. But I guess starting out with peers, it made it easy because they had no experience as a principal. I at least had 2 years as a principal, so I could teach them something. And that, as I found out that there was a simple pattern, and not only with themselves, but with the teachers that they led, that a lot of times it came down to courage or confidence, which kind of go hand in hand. And they just need to be believed in. And so I found this same pattern over and over that when we see failing schools or failing nonprofits now or failing, struggling or underperforming organizations, I don't want to sound too, Pollyanna or, this is just magic beans, but they got to get their minds right. And if they don't believe in themselves and their processes and their people, shift some things till you do and then start working. Now, I have worked with people in the past who would say, oh, that's an underperforming organization. Just get rid of the leader and start over. I don't believe that. I don't believe that at all. I truly believe that unless they've done something immoral or illegal or they're not willing to do the work, you keep your people. People are our most precious resource. So what sparked me is just seeing little improvements along the way of a person's mindset that impacted on a huge level. I don't know about New York, New Jersey, up in that way, but well, I think that it's a case everywhere. A school that's underperforming could be labeled as an F school or a D school or however they want to say it. Organizations that are not turning profits, their boards are going to be coming down on them. So, how can we change our outcomes without having to change all of the people involved, especially the leader?
Yes, and that's so true. And what I see about our school system is that when you see underperforming school systems and they don't have the funding, and what they would do, and I don't know how ethically, right this is, but they'll take, schools that are doing much higher and better, with their grade system, and they will put special programs that they know these kids will come to the other school system. And so now they'll have a mix and they'll have those grades and their numbers will boost up, but they're really focusing on those programs that they know will bring in the kids that are going to, be interested in advancing to a different level and learning new things to enhance themselves into a better college. But what about those kids that are struggling and need extra help in certain things and maybe not, they might not be able to pronounce, or their skills might be underdeveloped, So it's, to me, it's like, we still got a lot of work to do, and
Definitely a double-edged sword, definitely. And equality and finding that balance of pushing the ones who can and helping the ones who need it, that is a age-old question. But what I found is once the teacher is there's so much research on teacher efficacy and student efficacy that once they find someone who believes in them, whether they believe in themselves yet or not, but just the hope that someone else thinks they can, they begin to act different. And then they get that courage, and then their confidence increases. And a little success breeds a little bit more success, and it just expands. And so there's something to that. So over the past 5 years, even while I was still an associate superintendent coaching principals, I began coaching especially nonprofits. So I worked a lot with local organizations, chambers of commerce, rotaries, pet adoption places, and just helped them get their mission out there. What is your mission, and how can you make sure everyone understands it, can articulate it, and actually believes in it? Because once they do, they act different, and then they start making things happen.
So true. That is so true. Now, give us the elevator pitch. Like, what does each letter in E stand for, and why is it in that order? Why does it
Okay.
matter?
I love it. I love it. So my going all the way back to elementary school for myself, I was always trying to find an easier way to do something. And this probably bothered my family and my teachers, but I just didn't just go along with the grades. Like, there's got to be a simpler way. Like, can I color code this? Can I alphabetize this? Can I put these in order? Can I organize my towels by color and my vegetables by, whatever, And so that's just, I don't know why, but that's how my brain thinks, probably to try to keep me away from doing other things. But anyway, in how I started working with nonprofits with this E system is I noticed one particular group, I won't name them, but one particular group just had so many complex systems. So many, everything was different. You couldn't predict what was going on. So we came up with it, our organization came up with this to help them. So ease. E is engage. Engage your stakeholders. Engage them so they feel like they're owning this, not just buying in, they own it. When they own it, they're gonna make it work. If I am a manager and I say, Stacy, these are the 5 things I need you to do today, psychologically and subconsciously, you could find a way not to do them and say, well, I told you it wasn't going to work, or, well, you told me to do it, it didn't work. But if we talk about things in terms of, hey, what are your strengths? And here's our 10 things we need to get done this week. Which three can you help us out with? Or do you have a whole totally different way to do this? And you're bringing them in to engage them as part of the process. So that's E, engage. Depending on your organization or your clients or your processes, that could change up a little bit. A is align. So we talk about what are our strengths, what is our vision and our values, and how do we align that to what our goals are. So again, Stacy, let's say there's three of us in here. Stacy, you're great with communication and marketing. Then we have another person who's great with graphic design and that kind of thing, and another one who, and then maybe I'm great at timing. So we figure out how we're strong and we work together to complete projects. And if you're great with communication, I might make sure you know about timing and all that, but I'm not going to assign you a bunch of things that have to do with timing, because that's going to be putting you in a pin. My football analogy for this is we're not going to have our quarterback practice kicking. That is, we leverage strengths. Now, he may have to know how to kick in case our kicker gets hurt, but not all the time. That's not what he's going to practice. And then S, simplify. How can we simplify everything, streamline to make it predictable, make sure people understand, they know what's expected, and it just builds a culture of cohesion. And then the final E is empower. This is not micromanage, it's empower. I actually have a whole sit down conference with the team, a team conference where we decide these are the type of decisions that you have sole discretion on. I trust you 100%. This is your department. You make it work. These are the kind of decisions that we will collaborate on. Come to me and we'll work it out. And these are the kind of decisions you need to punt back to me no matter what. So, but having that open communication and that expectation and that clarity builds the ease for structures and frameworks that help you retain employees, increase your profits, decrease downtime, decrease decision-making time. And those are the effects that we've seen on all the different clients that we've worked
I love that. Now, a
with.
lot of new leaders freeze at execution. What part of ease helps them break that analysis or paralysis and take action in the first 24 hours?
Ooh, I love that. And that's one of the very first things I ask people to do after, well, after they've done their self-reflection, their strengths finders, and those kinds of things. I use a lot of different tools that do that. And then that ease framework that I just identified with you, we talk about that, but we actually have a framework for every single thing you can even consider in business. Ease for budgeting, ease for roles and responsibility, ease for scheduling, ease for sales, ease into whatever, every single task you can imagine. So then after I look at their strengths and their team strengths and we have a little talk, then they pick, they choose. So that's my part of engaging them. Where do you see a system that needs one of these frameworks? So that they get the framework. It's a two-page document and it just has the ease across the top to remind them what that is. But then whatever topic it is, for example, let's just say creating an improvement plan, then there's a rubric with team questions and team tasks, things that they are to consider. Now, I give these to them. They're not designed to be a worksheet that they have to fill in, but some people do. Some people work like that. Other people just use it as a document to get talking. But regardless of what it is, your question is about follow through. So when I'm working with a client, I say, when do you want to meet again? And what do you want to have done by then? And how can I coach you to make sure that's done? What kind of accountability do you want me to have with you? Do you want me to just leave right now and that's your task? Or do you want me to remind you in a couple of weeks or, however many ink, whatever the increment is? They may say, come back next week, or they may say, I'll see you in a month. But okay, what kind of accountability? You want me to email you? You want me to call you? Are we on our group text? What are we doing to make sure this gets done? And it's hard for me in a way because I don't want to be seen as this, you get this done, because I'm trying to coach them to own it themselves. So I have to be in a balance, but the whole point, the reason they contacted me is because they want help. So how can I help them without feeling like I'm some, principal master making sure they turn their lesson plans in on time,
Exactly. You don't want to be the person that walks in the room and then they're like they cringe with fear because they know that oh my goodness, Rhonda's here. Oh gosh, and then they get all nervous. So that's the
But
last
the
thing
good
you want.
thing is, exactly, Stacey, but the good thing is, since they chose, and I sort of have it broken down into like these are the beginner leader issues, these are the mid career type or mid I found myself yet, and then these are the ones that are ready. So the mid leader basically I mean the beginning leader basically has no systems, or they're walking into a place that already had a bunch of systems and they're finding already these systems don't work. So literally, where's the biggest fire? And what's a sacred cow? Is there a sacred cow we need to not touch? And what's the biggest fire? Or what's the biggest win? What's your low-hanging fruit? I'll give an example. The first year I became a principal, I was so scared. I thought, oh, what am I going to do? This is a different neighborhood. I've never worked over here on this side of town, all those thoughts. And then somehow we were also getting a new preacher at my church, and she did this. And I said, oh, I'm going to do that. She made little small groups. Now, this is 20 years ago, but she said, small groups, we can either meet at the church or y'all can have it at your house, or we'll meet at a restaurant. But I just want to meet with, under 10 of you at a time. to figure out what's going on. What do you like? What do you not like? What do you want to change? And girl, Stacy, I implemented that the very next week. And so I did that. And it was so interesting because I had a huge win right off the bat. Every grade level said, we got to do something about our discipline. It's out of control and there's no consistency. Okay. Who on this team is the most passionate about that? I did that 7 times, got a committee. They created it. We implemented it. And I didn't do anything except listen and figure out who wanted to work on it.
I
And so
love that.
that's kind of how I teach other leaders to work, where yes, you're responsible for this, but it doesn't mean you have to do it all. In fact, it's better if you don't. I'll give you another example of the opposite of that. So our school grew so fast. We went from 500 to 880 in a summer. So, whoa, we got to change up some arrival and dismissal. And what are we going to do for buses? And who's on what team? And add these portable buildings. So, all kinds of things. And I was the principal. I'm the one in charge. I got to do this. So, I made all these processes over the summer. I don't want them to worry about it. They got so much to worry about. I'm going to just do these. Boom, here's your dismissal process. Hand it out. It was horrible. I mean, it didn't work at all. I mean, the first day normally takes an hour anyway because it's the first day, but it took an hour for about 8 days. And finally, one of the teachers came to me and said, we got to do something. It's too hot, number one, and we're tired. Parents are mad. And I said, okay, you got anybody that can help you come up with a new idea? Yes, I do. She came up with a new idea. She got 5 or 6 other people from around. They trot it to the rest of the school. It was perfect. We were in it. I mean, they got rid of 880 students in 13 minutes. So it's better if you don't try to do everything yourself because you don't have the perspective of every single little area that you have teammates who do know that area. So anyway, that's part of it. I've gone off on a little track. The mid area are those who are refining and protecting their own time. So they have systems in place, but they're still maybe doing too much on their own. And so we've got to create some boundaries. And I talk about three things with that: blocks, clocks, and socks. So it's blocks of time. Get in your calendar before anybody else sees it. And if you want to do a week at a time or a month at a time, block off a little bit of time every single day to only work on your project that nobody else can do. Second one is clocks. Set the clock like every 45 minutes to an hour to get up and move, do something where you're taking care of your body. And the second part of clocks is set the ending time. What time does your day end? And have an accountability partner like 2 or 3 times a week for sure. Meet that accountability. I understand there's, meetings and so forth that come up, but for the most part, you don't have a badge for working 14 hours. If you're working that many hours, something's wrong. There's a lot. And then this S, socks, that is when you get home, kick off your shoes and literally plan intentionally to go do something fun or relaxing or that brings you back to your soul, where you can have peace. And then again, the last type of group of leaders that I'm talking about are those who have their systems. They've already learned that boundary, but they're probably starting to think about where this organization is going to go in the next 3 to 5 years without them. And there's no leadership bench. So how can we create a leadership bench? And we have an application process for that and then specific training modules. So ease is the signature framework, but it applies to every single task. And then we target three different types of leaders.
I love that. I love that. Now, what quick win inside your framework gets skeptical team members leaning in instead of leaning in and checking out?
To checking out. Oh, that's a good one because there's a lot of them trying to check out. But what they do like, and this is they don't even realize it. And even when I mention it, they're like, oh, but once they do it, and maybe it's not a quick win, so this might be a different answer, but relatively speaking, it's quick, but it does take time. And that is that self-reflection for them and their team. So they can either do a 360 where the team evaluates them and they compare what they thought to what the team thought, or everybody on their big leadership or decision-making team can take this self-assessment. And every time there's probably 30% of the room is like, oh, we have to do this again. We have to self-reflect again. But if I ask you, what is your strength? And you can't tell me, are you the
Yeah.
quarterback or the kicker? What are we doing on this team?
Exactly.
And so that self-reflection time is huge. And so for a quick win, I say, at least discover the strengths of your team. Because if there's misalignment, if Stacy's in charge of HR when she really should be in charge of communication and marketing, we have an alignment issue, not a personnel issue. We don't
Right.
need to fire her. We need to put her in the right spot.
Yeah. That's so true. That's so true. Now, how does ease bake well the well-being into goal crushing process? So, how does like leaders, they don't feel like they're choosing between the performance and the mental health?
Well, when I in the simplified area, I do have that's part of it. That is totally part of it because a person who is the leader, or even just the leadership team, if they're the only people who know the processes inside and out,
Yeah.
you have chaos almost. And at best, you have frustration.
Yeah.
People on in the organization need to know what's expected and be able to carry through. And so I've heard it said like this, and I don't mean to be condescending, but because of so many things that everybody is faced with right now, and I know people in all times have been saying this, but it's so true for where we are right now. Even though we're 5 years out of the pandemic, it's still on top of us for so many in so many avenues. And then politics and AI and unemployment and rising price, all of this is right here. Oh, right here. How can I just do like this so I can just
Like
get a
that,
little so the thing that when things are simplified, it needs to almost be, again, I don't mean to be condescending, but it needs to almost be where a fourth grader could understand
yeah. No, definitely, definitely.
it. And that's not to say that you don't have the capacity more of a fourth grader in our organization. It's to simplify it so that you can think deeply about these other things, that innovation, meeting new clients, et cetera, where these processes are automatic and I don't
Yes.
think too much.
Well,
That
they
is
do.
their well-being. And on top of that, I have ease frameworks for a wellness program or for celebrations and the culture and climate that recognizes people who are healthy.
I
I'm
like
going to
that.
bring this up one. I'm going to bring this up because this is a kind of a dual conversation of these kind of phrases come out. Well, that's not my job, or this is what I'm supposed to do, versus, oh, I gotta live into my next promotion, so I gotta almost act like I've already got that promotion. So where are we in the middle there, where you're not being used and you'll never get promoted because you're already doing everything now, and you're
Right.
not slacking? Where's that real fine balance? But part of that is when you're somebody just said this to me, and I've heard it so many times, but when they said it to me today, it gave me goosebumps. Your health is your wealth.
Yes.
And that is not just a tagline. As a leader, if I don't take care of myself, how am I going to lead? How do I impact? How do I help others come after me as the next generation of leaders? And
Yeah.
this badge of honor of being overworked, you're not valued by what you get done.
Right.
You're valued by how you empower others to work together in that collective doneness. This,
Yeah.
meeting these goals and cranking out all this work. Okay, but why? Why are we doing that?
Yeah.
That's pretty much square one. But if you're not healthy, you're sure not going to do it.
Exactly, 100%. Now, new leaders often struggle with delegation, which ease pr the principal helps them handle off and maintain quality. And how does it do that?
So I do have delegation with ease, and it uses those four simple things. But the way I teach this to others, I think this was some kind of I cannot remember exactly who came up with this. I'm sorry, I can't think of this researcher's name, but it's the four D's. What can you do right now that is simple that only you can do? There's
Yeah.
nobody else on your team that you can do. And if you can't do it right now because you're the only person to do it, then just get it scheduled. When this other stuff comes across your desk, sometimes it's so tempting, especially as a new leader, to say, well, I'm the leader. I'm supposed to do it. I'm expected to do it. I'm the one getting paid more. I'm not going to dump my work on someone else. So
Yeah.
we're not asking you to dump your work, but when you delegate, think of it in this different mindset. I'm sorry if you're hearing a bunch of sirens. I don't know what's happening. I'm sorry. But think of it in this mindset of that leadership bench. Who is qualified to do this? And if they're not qualified, can you teach them and then they'll be qualified to do it? And
Right.
not that you're looking to, we've got to change that mindset of two mindsets. I'm the leader, I'm getting paid more, I got to do it. And I'm the only one that can do it. It's faster for me to just do it and I'll take care of it. It'll be done. It's
Yeah.
not faster. Slower is faster because when you teach five or six other people something, number one, you've increased their marketability, their internal feeling of purpose and how they're contributing, and you've taken it off your plate to do the things that only you can do. I used to
Right.
use an example. I do not want my high school principal out there on a riding lawnmower.
Yeah.
Even though you may love mowing the lawn and you have love making this little pattern, as a taxpayer, I did not pay you to mow the lawn. I need
Right.
you there making the decisions that only you can make, that nobody else can. And Simon Sinek says, as a leader, you have to learn to ask for and receive help.
Yes.
And that is key in asking for help. There's so many people who want to help you. They don't know how to help you. You have to ask them and show them and train them how to help you. And that is
Right.
the role of a leader. A leader leads by doing those things. It's and now you could be a manager or a jerk and just say, here, Stacy, get these reports by Friday.
Right.
Or you can say, Stacy, come on in here and we're going to work for an hour. I want you to see how I do this. You may have a different way. We've got to get them done by Friday, but let's just see how many we can get done. Figure out how we can do this differently because
Yeah.
I'm overwhelmed. I'm not going to get them done by Friday, but you can help me and you may even have a better, simpler way.
Right.
Shockingly, somebody will have a simpler way if we just ask them.
Exactly. Exactly. Now, what KPIs should aspiring leaders track to know that ease is working beyond the obvious bottom line numbers?
Yeah, I mean, I do ask them to track over, time, of course,
Yeah.
employee retention, sales, increased sales, and stuff like that. But some of the not so obvious is there. This is and it's hard to track. But if you look at KPIs in terms of being able to really measure this indicator,
Yeah.
is the very first one I ask people to do is start a weekly meeting. Meeting with ease template. Did you ever guess that I would have had that? And it's basically just a few questions. It's not even a huge agenda. You save that for when it's necessary. But this
Yeah.
is to engage. It's mostly the engage part. But here we are Monday morning, or if you wanted to do it Friday, getting ready for the week, whatever day you choose, but it's consistent weekly meeting with the core team, your core leadership decision-making team. And that's where you say, what are your wins this week? Where are you stuck? How can I help you?
Yes.
What do we commit to getting done by the end of the week?
Right.
That's it. And so your key KPI takeaway there is your oh God, the word just left me, but it's your performance. Has your performance increased? Have you increased your task completion? Because so many times you'll have a group of leaders, they're great. They have different levels of strength. So maybe they're great at celebrating other people's success or creating schedules and being very task oriented that way. But there's
Yeah.
some and they're still stuck. They're
Yeah.
not really progressing as they should. And so my first thing is have a weekly meeting with all of them where everybody's heads are together. What are your wins? Where are you stuck? How can we help? That is a that's mandatory. And the second part that's mandatory is individual meetings with those people, your key decision makers. And that could be one other person, two other people, 10 other people. And that invariably the first thing I get from our clients is, I don't have time for that. I said, well, and I will say, do you have time to onboard new employees every year? Do you have time to sit where you're stuck right now? What is it costing you not to do that? It is going to cost you time to do it. And time, I know, is super precious, a big, big commodity. And it's going to take a lot of time to get started. I'm not going to lie. It's going to feel awkward. You're going to feel like a robot. You're going to feel like you're just checking this thing off for Rhonda, you know, but you're doing it to grow your team. You're doing it to hear other key players, develop them, let them feel heard and can like they're contributing. And lo and behold, they may even have a solution, you know. But that one-on-one time, it doesn't even have to be 5 minutes. Sometimes it'll go longer because something will come up. There's, you know, they're dealing with, they're taking care of their uncle or whatever. Something's distracting. But that's huge too. And then this is when I blow their minds. Because I do ask them at first to start with a sit down formal in their office or in the other person's office or whatever, 5 minutes. So you've already done the whole team meeting. Now it's just them because there could have been something they didn't want to say in front of everybody. But once they get that system down, then, and that's only once a week, then I tell them in the whole week, go say hi to every single person who works there. Because it is about building relationships. And I've worked with CEOs who say, well, I don't even know everybody who works here. Well, what's that getting you? Or, you know, a high school principal. We have 250 people. I don't know all of them. Doesn't take too long to say hi. Oh, here's a bonus. Say hi, Stacy. Call them by their name if you know it. If you don't know it, get to know it. One of the things I ask, and it's easier for people in small organizations. I know that, but it's essential. If people are working for someone they don't think knows them or even knows their name, they're not vested. They're not invested. Excuse me. They're just punching a time clock, getting their paycheck. But the dynamics of an organization change when there are relationships. And so my EASE framework teaches them if they'll just invest the time is hard to invest, but the KPI that they're looking for there is an increased culture, an increased positive culture, increased retention and loyalty of employees, increased engagement of employees. Engagement of employees is hard to measure. I understand that, but attendance is easy. You know, hey, how many people are using every single one of their sick days, and you know they're not sick. And I don't even want to call them sick days anymore. I just want to call them paid time off. And don't ask me, you know, just tell me when you need to take off. And the culture needs to be so good that you can, and you're not embarrassed or you're not threatened. And I'm okay that because you've already worked your butt off the whole time to get ready for this. And that's what you need to stay well. So it's just all working on the relationships, the cultures, the processes. So people feel like they're part of something bigger than themselves and they're eager to make happen.
I love that. I love that. Now, you've coached everyone from bankers to educators. How do you adapt ease for wildly different organizations and cultures?
This comes up a lot because of my 31 years in education, and they're like, well, you know, that might have worked for a school, but and I just say, well, let's see what happens. You know, we can tweak it. And I'll ask them every time for their input. And they'll say, yeah, I'll give you my input. And they never do. So it's tweaked by their industry, and it's tweaked by some of the related items. You know, in schools, you're not putting out a product. You don't have an assembly line. You're not really looking at sales, but you're looking at student growth and you're looking at attendance rates and those kinds of things. So what can we take from that and put into this organization? And If I think about how things have tweaked in that regard, it's funny. I thought when I retired, because even while I was still working as an associate superintendent, most of my clients were still in education, but in a different realm. Either they created a product or whatever, or I was working with coaching coaches, et cetera. So I just knew as soon as I retired, I'm going to just be working for school districts all over the country. And that is not the case. I mostly work. I had a stint where I worked with pastors. I had a stint where I worked with bankers. It's just like by referral. So it's and that framework works. And what I talked about earlier is, or maybe I haven't touched on this too much, but it's really about belief in themselves. And so
So important.
once we get past that, okay, here are your strengths and here's the strength of your team. With these strengths, do we need to add any more team members? Or can the strengths of this team move forward and get goals, accomplish some goals? And once they believe in themselves, we're not just like in a school, we're not judged by our zip code, we're not judged by our parents' income, we're judged by how we perform.
So true. Now you're a certified DISC consultant. Where does the personality assessment plug e into ease, and how can leaders avoid turning it into a label fest?
Yeah, that's funny you mentioned that because I've warned them against that all the time. So I do use the DISC. I love it because it predicts your behavior and communication style. So how can we make sure we're not like, oh, she's the whatever. And so I'll tell it's part of the E in the first E, engage. So we're strengths, we're engaging everybody's strengths, and then the secondly, we'll align our value, our actions to our values and strengths. But here's how we do it. So everybody gets a code on their emails. They fill it out. I have so many of these going, Stacey, that I don't have time to look at them. So I just feed them into my system and it rates it, sends them an email back. And then I ask the leader, everybody's already gotten their email. So ask them to open them and ask them to just bring a copy of the report to our meeting. This is if they choose this. Sometimes the principals are, I mean the leaders, I've only done this with like four principals. I don't know why I said that, but sometimes the leaders are just like, nah, they can just read it on their own and we're good. We're gonna move on. But most of the time, probably 80 or more percent of the time, they'll say, yes, let's get a meeting together so we can talk about this. And I tell them, I warn them. Make sure they read all about themselves before they come to this meeting. And it's a 32-page report. It's very thorough that describes all the different styles. It compares them to historical figures that they know, Einstein and Oprah. I mean, people that they can relate to. It gives them examples. It charts their sub behavior plot. And then it even goes into a lot of the research behind this, how most of our behavior and communication styles are formed before we're even 13 years old by what's been modeled to us, what's been allowed, what we've been allowed to get away with, et cetera. That all. And then luckily though, there's a 33% of our behavior and communication that we have control over as adults that we literally can overcome what happened to us as a child. So every single person has childhood trauma. I don't care if you are Silver Spoon or Hay Farm. I mean, it's how we process everything. But once we start to learn about patterns and other options and different ways that people are and understand why people act differently, it's not just they're stupid or they weren't brought up right. This is a real categorization of behavior. So in the DISC, we're looking at someone who's very dominant decision maker, someone who's very influential, someone who's social and likes to work through in groups and think about things from lots of different perspectives, or someone who is very charismatic, uses that charismatic, but they're very logical and systematic. So it's so funny because if you can tell if all of those people have really read, or most of them have read their profiles before they come, they're blurting it out and they're the ones saying, I never ask who was this. I never say, in this group, In any group, 3% of the people will be a D.
Yeah.
20%, 17% will be an I. I never ask them to identify, but when they've read it, they understand why they are like they are. They're okay saying it.
Wow.
And then what comes from that, you can tell, even if it's an organization that you can see they're struggled with some trust, you can tell the difference between a trusting organization and one that's just surface level trust,
Right.
by how they reveal what they reveal about themselves. So if they're not revealing that about themselves, it's totally okay. But you can tell there's trust issues there, and all you have to do is talk about things more generally, like worldwide or in North America or whatever. And in
Yeah.
any organization, 70% are going to be this. So if that's the case, then that means most people get along with most people just by getting along,
Right.
70%. So then really all we have to learn to deal with is these other two personalities and behavior styles. But if we understand them, and this is what I love about that report, it says if you're a C or an S, which is 70% of the population, how do
Right.
you tap in psychologically to get a D or an I to help you?
Right.
Because we need those people, because
Yeah.
that's percent of the people are just go with the flow. So
That's very
if it does accidentally turn into a finger point and name calling session, can
true.
we just take a little break? Hey, you know what? Right now is a good time for a break. Let's
Yeah.
come back in 5 minutes, and then or 10 minutes or whatever, and then I get with the leader and I ask them, how do you want to do this? Are you going to take the lead on this, and or do you want me to stop it? And almost every time they say, keep going, we're breaking through. Okay. But
Wow.
it's risky. And I warn them every time because somebody might get their feelings hurt. I mean, somebody who never knew they were a D, and now all of a sudden you're getting told you're a D. And here's the interesting thing about a D who is very self-aware that they may be coming off as a D, there's a report printout that shows false D, because they've learned so much not to piss people off by their D-ness that they've also come up with these others. So I, C, and S are all very high on the chart, and D is below midline, and that's what we call a false D. They're really a D, but they've masked it by
Yeah.
purposefully doing these other tasks and communication styles. It's so interesting. I could go on with that for like 2 hours, but
That's
you ask a
cool.
valid question because it is risky, and I just have to really be aware of what's happening. Is this an organization that has a lot of internal trust, or do I just need to really keep it surface level?
Right. And that's an important call because, depending on the people and how they handle it, honesty is key, but not everybody can handle honesty and truth. It's hard when it comes to constructive criticism and really finding out who you really, represent, if that's not, what, even if they know deep down inside that they are a D, but they don't want to be considered a D by others,
Right,
so.
right. And then I give them this honorable way out, and this is my path for life. Everywhere I go, I try to find an honorable way out for people, because there's always something that may not be really be as it looks. So I'll
Yeah.
tell them, this assessment, it's so long, and it's designed for you to be gut reaction. Seriously, like every question should take no longer to read it than to answer.
Right.
You should answer it as fast as you read it. So you may have overanalyzed, or you may have been distracted. It takes a long time, so you may have been distracted. So if this isn't right in 3 months, if you want to take it again, I'll give it to you for free. No big deal. And that way they get an honorable way out if they're totally distraught with their identity.
Before leaders inspire others, how can they apply the framework to manage their own energy and focus and growth?
That's a good one. I don't know if I actually have a framework for managing themselves using the EATS framework. That's lovely. Well, have we talked about managing your own time?
A little bit we did. We and
I
it's
mean,
hard for a lot of people because it's, you're saying
yeah.
how critical it is, but It's
You
a
know, for their own growth, I'm a proponent of this self-awareness, obviously, or I wouldn't ask these for them to complete discs. And if they say, you know what, we've already done the disc, we don't want to do that again, I have two or three others that we also use. So I think of self-reflection as being number one in your personal growth. It's so
Yeah.
important. As I mentioned earlier, if a person doesn't know their strength, then what are you even doing? You know, how do you even apply for certain jobs or, you know, whatever.
Exactly.
But I also don't want you to just be identified by what type of job you have. So really within that job, what is your strength? So that's
Right.
one. And then the other thing is this vulnerability of while we're in the last part of ease, while we're empowering everyone to use their strength and work together to accomplish things, just know that I, as the leader, continue to grow.
Yeah.
And if I walk into a room one time and I think, hey, why am I here? I'm the smartest one here. Yeah, you need to find another room because nobody's ever finished growing. Nobody's ever finished learning.
That's
Every person can learn from every other person. There's good in
good.
everyone, and everyone has a story.
Yes.
Everybody can teach you something. And so
100%.
I encourage the leader to be a little bit vulnerable. I'll give you an example. I worked with this lady once. This was at a nonprofit, and she on the surface, everything was perfect. You would have thought this was a machine, a well-oiled machine. What do they need help with?
Yeah.
But it came down to her, just what you mentioned, her own growth. And it was her first year running this organization and had come in on the heels of an amazing leader. So systems and values and all that strengths, everything's aligned. But what she failed to do is tell her story. Why? Why do you want to be the next CEO of this organization?
Right.
Why do you ask these certain things of us? And instead of just coming in like a machine, oh, this guy used to do it like this, so I'm going to just keep all these things going, and as long as we just keep
Yeah.
these things going, we're going to be good. Well, they saw their, different indicators were declining.
Yeah.
And I said, you're a substitute right now.
Right.
You're a substitute CEO. They don't even know you. Yes, they know you from before when you had that other role, but now you're the CEO. And what is your why? You
Right.
know, it's not just about, if it's a museum, let's just say it's a museum. It's not just about visitorship and sales.
Yeah.
What ignites your passion with this topic? And
Right.
why should anybody want to do anything you ask? I mean,
Exactly.
and getting down to that vulnerability and exhibiting trust in others before they've actually earned it. Some people, that's tough. So telling your story, even it, your story might be hard, but it
Yeah.
made you who you are. And when people know that about you, they just work a little bit harder for you. So
Right.
my two key takeaways here is know yourself, know your people, share your story, and figure theirs out. You know, learn it, ask them, et cetera. You know, it's all this intentional relationship building so that we can work together to make
Right.
good things happen.
I love that. I love that. Now you have three books coming out, or you have three books right now, right? Are
Yes.
you launching one? Like, I know you have at least two books out. Are they, or you have all three out right now?
One of those weird people who, even though I talk to people about not burning out and don't be a workaholic and all that, I have to teach myself that a lot too. So one of the things that brings me balance though is children's books. So I have these two that are already published. My third one is called, here's the first one. It is The Guardian of London. The second one is The Showdown on Peppermill Street. The third one is The Mysterious Mountain Man. This is a series of books about my husband's childhood dog, Buster. So it's Buster's Tales. They're all found on Amazon, and they're designed to bring joy to others, but also teach a leadership lesson. So
Right.
with all the interesting stories going around in public schools today, I thought we're going to just have a regular old dog modeling good behavior.
I
And so it's leadership lessons. And so I also share those with my adult leaders of organizations and say, hey, pick a little section out of this and put it in your newsletter and let people see, a characterization of leadership through this lens. And then every book has a leadership lesson at the end, a Bible verse, and then on my website, tons of free things to do with kids and adults with the books. Those are my, that's what, helps me stay balanced. The other book is what we've been talking about this entire time, Ease into Leadership, and it's a field guide filled with all these different strategies and tools that we've been talking about this time. Hope to launch that here by the end of August.
Oh, I love it. Congratulations. Now, where can people find the children's books right now?
Okay, so if they go to rhondaparmer.com, and remember, Parmer rhymes with farmer, but it starts with a P. Farm, strong arms, Rhonda Palmer. So strong arms, rhondaparmer.com. Thank you. To those. So in the resources, there's, I mean, it's big, buy the leadership books. And that will link you into Amazon, but I would love it if they buy them through my link because then I don't just get my author cut, I get an affiliate cut. So that'll help
I
me out.
love
But
it.
if you can't do that, if it's hard to find rhondaparmer.com on Amazon, and it's the Buster's Tales series.
I love it. Now tell everybody about the services that you provide.
All right, so I have one coming up that we're starting right now called the 5-Day Power Shift, and we're looking for people who are ready to just tweak a couple of things on their team to move from what I call not stranded, but stuck in a rut to accelerating. So here we are. I'm a race car driver. So am I stuck in neutral or am I accelerating? And so this power shift is just a 5-day quick lesson they'll get via email, just to set their mind right on a lot of things we talked about today. So that's just recognizing people, saying hi, and then also having that balance yourself so that you're well enough to be the great leader that you're destined to be. I also work one-on-one with clients. So we have the confidence accelerator and also another power shift accelerator that's like a 90-day. And that's where we talk about those teams where we're doing those self-reflection discs or other assessments, and then working with your team, picking out where are you in your leadership journey and what's your final goal. That everything is designed to bring peace and clarity to you and clarity to your team. The entire process is designed to help you clearly articulate your mission and your why so that other people are carrying that flag and you're maximizing those benefits to accomplish great things together.
I love that. Now, where can they find this again? Can you tell everybody your
Yes.
website?
Every single thing is on the website, rhondaparmer.com. They can also look me up on LinkedIn, Rhonda Freeman Palmer, on Instagram, the Rhonda Palmer.
I
Yeah.
love it. I love it. And from today's conversation, if you had to pull out a couple important factors, what would you want people to remember from this conversation?
These are my key points to everybody, everywhere I go. Take care of yourself and then you'll be able to serve your team and serve your team. They're not there to serve you, you serve them. When you serve them, they automatically serve you. And that's what makes you a great leader. Not because you're good at time or you're good at communication or you're good at this. You're good at developing other people. You're the person who helps them believe in themselves. You believe in them until they believe in themselves, and then they do something that they never believed they could
I
do.
love it. This has been amazing. Thank you so much, Rhonda, for coming on the show and sharing the EASE program with us and just sharing your experiences and how it works. And I think it's wonderful what you're doing. And I congratulate you on your children's books. I think, we tend to sometimes, we make things more complicated than what it is. And if we break it down, especially in the way that you just showed us today, things could be really, done a lot easier and a lot quicker and probably a lot less stressful on, the people in the team and the company and so forth like that. And so I thank you so much for coming up with this and creating this and sharing it with us today. You truly are a remarkable woman, and I thank you so much.
Oh, thank you, Stacy. You have blessed me beyond measure. Thank you for allowing me to share that with y'all.
You're very welcome. You have a great day.
You. You too.